Matt had said that this morning's talk would be a challenge, and I have to say that I certainly found it a challenge this week as I was preparing for this. And it's always good to be presented with challenges, particularly when they come from the Lord. So, and that said, let's just bow our heads before the Lord again and just commend ourselves to Him. Father, we do pray that You would give help and strength here this morning, and that You would speak to us. And I pray that, Lord, there would be hearts open to receive the Word of God and to hear what it is that You have to say to us. Enable and strengthen now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Our subject this morning is like-mindedness. You would remember last week in Matt's introduction to this new series how he described the B's of the New Testament. Be strong, be holy, be thankful, and so on. And he said that that's who we should be in Christ. We should be all of those things. And over the course of the next couple of weeks, few weeks, we're going to be thinking about what some of those things are and how we should be those things in Christ. Because the Lord Jesus wants us to be different from the dark world that He has saved us from. He doesn't want us to be like the world. He wants us to be like Him. Peter, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, very famously describes us as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are to be His own special people, a holy, Christ-like people, proclaiming the praises of our God. Our lives are to be radically different because we belong to Jesus. And so God sets out for us in His Word what it is that we are to be. Last week, Matt's title was Be Ready. God would have us to be strong too, to be holy, to be thankful. And there are others. And as I said, we're going to explore those in the weeks to come. This morning, we're going to think about what it means to be like-minded. The Lord would have us to be like-minded. What does it mean to be like-minded? It means to have the mind of Christ in all our dealings with each other and with our families, the mind of Christ, with our husbands, our wives, our children, the mind of Christ in our dealings with the world around us, the people we work with, the people we meet each day. To be like-minded means to have the mind of Jesus. I would like to begin this morning by quoting someone I was listening to during the week. This is me paraphrasing what he said. He said, "Unity among brothers and sisters in Christ is essential for the work of God to happen in a local church, in a Christian family." He said, "How can we reach out to a lost world to encourage each other if we are at war with each other?" He said, "Unity and peace must prevail in order for God's people to do the tasks that God has given them to do." And he said that attitudes of anger, mistrust, or jealousy will only lead to fighting and devouring one another as opposed to building each other up. And he's right, isn't he? We won't grow if we're harboring attitudes of resentment, bitterness, or jealousy. And so, this morning, for our encouragement, I would like us to explore what it means, really what it means to be like-minded. So let's begin by turning to Romans chapter 15 and verses 5 and 6, please. Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. Here in verse 5, Paul is praying for the church at Rome. He says, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. That you, verse 6, may with one mind and one mouth glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice Paul begins by appealing to the character of God. He says, "Now, may the God of patience and comfort," or as the ESV and the NIV put it, "the God of enduring, of endurance and encouragement, grant you to be like-minded towards one another." Or again, as the ESV puts it, "to have the same attitude of mind towards one another." The same attitude of mind towards one another. Paul would have us remember that God is the God of all comfort and consolation. He is the God of enduring patience and encouragement. It's God's character, his nature, to console, to comfort, to be patient with us, to encourage us, to love us. And Paul is praying here that this God of love and patience, the God of all comfort, would grant them to do the same. To be the same. That makes sense, doesn't it? That God wants us to be the same. To be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, according to the example of the Lord Jesus, who himself expresses the full character of our great and loving God. You see what Paul is saying here? We are to have the mind of Christ in our dealings with each other. We are to love each other, encourage each other, console each other. We're to be patient with each other, and we're to comfort each other. That together, verse 6, as the ESV puts it, "you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the goal, isn't it? To glorify God, particularly here when we come together to worship. We are to be together with one voice and one purpose, glorifying God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ together. Together. Without division, without strife, without contentions, without suspicions, and without unkind feelings towards each other, we are to be one voice. Now, I just want to make it very clear to everybody this morning. I'm not speaking on this subject this morning because I think there's a problem. Okay? I'm speaking on this subject this morning because this is the subject this morning I feel the Lord wants me to speak on. Okay? I'm not aware of a problem. But maybe there are. I don't know. Let's see what the Lord has to say. We are to be one voice together, one united voice in unity and agreement with Christ. So if we're harboring unkind feelings for a brother or sister in Christ, we need to deal with that, don't we? And we need to deal with it quickly and get our hearts right before the Lord. How can we sing with one voice to our Father in heaven, who has so wonderfully demonstrated his love for us, if we are resentful or suspicious or unkind to each other? We can't. It makes a mockery of the forgiveness of Jesus if we can't forgive each other as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as families. It makes a mockery of the love of Christ if we can't forgive each other. So Paul is praying here that together with one voice, they may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with one united voice. And praise the Lord, that's the goal, isn't it? That's the goal. Because we as a church here in Gorey Christian Assembly have been forgiven much by Christ. We were thinking about that this morning in our worship time. The power of God, the weakness of man, what God has done for us in Christ and how he has forgiven us. And we are united together in that forgiveness. Nothing should get in the way of spoiling that or robbing us of the joy and the simplicity of what Christ has done for us. I hope you can appreciate the importance of this. It's essential, isn't it? It's fundamental to who we are in Christ, that we should be Christ-like towards one another according to the example of Jesus, who is our Lord and, as we were thinking this morning, our Saviour. And that's coming close to understanding what it means to be like-minded, holding up Jesus as the supreme example and having his mind, his motives and his purpose done in respect of our brothers and sisters in Christ and our families and our friends too. Bringing the mind and motives of Christ into your church, into your family, into your friendships and into your work and into your relationship with each other. We're told in Acts 4 and verse 32 that all the believers were one in heart and mind. Isn't that lovely? They were all one in heart and mind, and that no one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything that they had. They were one in heart and in mind. I hope this morning that we can say that as we look around at each other, as we think maybe of those who aren't here this morning, that yes, we are one in heart and mind with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, united together in the Lord Jesus with a common love and a common task to glorify and to honour him. Paul takes this a little further, writing to the church at Corinth. So again, if you just want to turn over to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, please. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. He pleads with them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that they should all speak the same thing. The same thing, as opposed to different conflicting things, and that there should be no division among them, but that they be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And sadly, as we know, the church at Corinth wasn't exactly like that. It had its factions and it had its divisions. At the end of his second epistle to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, he reminds them again, saying, so at the beginning of his first epistle to them as a church, and now at the end of his second epistle, his last epistle to them as a church, he reminds them again, saying this, "Finally, brethren, farewell." He says to them, "Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." To live in peace, so that the God of love and peace will be with them. We want to be complete in him, don't we? Not allowing disagreements or resentments to rob us of the enjoyment of God's love and peace. The enjoyment of God's company, the enjoyment of fellowship with God, the enjoyment of God's closeness, his presence. Paul begins and ends by telling his brothers and sisters at Corinth to be of one mind, the same mind, to live in peace, perfectly joined, with no division at all among them. Now, does that mean that we need to agree on everything and think the same thing about everything? On the fundamental doctrines of Christianity, yes, it most certainly does. Those most precious things that we hold to be true, we cannot allow anything to separate us from those as a body of believers. But it couldn't mean that we share the same views on everything. Having identical opinions about things, that would be impossible. And that's not what's intended here. Even a small group of believers like us, there will be a variety of opinions on a variety of subjects, biblical and otherwise. But we do need to agree on the fundamental doctrines of biblical Christianity. And there's no room for disagreement there. We need to be like-minded regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, his atoning work on the cross, the free gift of salvation, the nature of man, and the assurance of everlasting life. And I'm sure you can think of other fundamental doctrines that we can hold to and need to hold to as well. This is not an exhaustive list. And then we need to be patient and courteous with each other in those secondary or debatable areas of difference. If we turn now to Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2 and verses 1 to 8, we did look at this morning. Mark did bring us there this morning. But let's turn again to that if we can, if your Bibles are open there. Paul doesn't mince his words here. He tells us directly that being like-minded is having the mind of Christ. It's not uniformity of opinion. It's being conformed to the mind and character of Jesus. To see things as he would see them, and to respond to things as he would respond to them. To love as he loves, which of course produces unity. So turn with me, please, to Philippians 2, verses 1 to 8, and we'll read it together. Therefore, Paul says, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, he says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Paul is saying here that since there is so much encouragement in Christ, and since his love brings us such tremendous comfort, and since the Holy Spirit brings us all together in such wonderful fellowship, and since there is so much tender affection and mercy in Christ, then he says, we should be able to get along with each other. We should be able to get along with each other. Fulfill my joy, Paul says. Make me exceedingly happy is what he's saying. By doing just that. By getting along with each other. That's applicable to all of us, isn't it? Young and old alike. Male and female alike. It doesn't matter. The Lord would want us to get along with each other. Scripture asks us to get along with each other. By being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, souls that beat together in tune with Christ and with each other, being of one mind, despite our different personalities, despite our differences, loving each other, being patient with each other, despite our differences. Paul goes on, verse 3, and says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, In other words, there shouldn't be any displays of pride. Instead, he says, verse 3, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you, verse 4, look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Putting the interests and concerns of our brothers and our sisters in Christ alongside my own, above my own even. He says, verse 5, and please listen. He says, let this mind, verse 5, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. We read that this morning. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Just pause for a minute in your own hearts and consider again the implications of that. God, the Son, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. God did that. God did that. The mind of Christ, the mind of God, is humility, isn't it? It's taking the low place, the place of a servant. Paul presents Jesus as the supreme example of humility. He tells us, Romans 15 and verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. I'm going to make a confession this morning. I hadn't intended to do this, but I'm doing it assured that everyone else here is the same. I am too fond of pleasing myself. Too fond of pleasing myself. Christ did not please himself. He set out to please the Father. And he set out to please the Father by serving others. Others who were weaker than him. Others who needed his help. Others who needed salvation. And the mind of Christ is sacrificial too, isn't it? He set aside the privileges and rights that were rightfully his. And he sacrificed his life in the service of others. Fulfill my joy, Paul says, by being like-minded, having the same mind as Jesus. God taking the low place. God sacrificing himself for people like you and me. So should we. That's what unites us to Christ, isn't it? And it's what should unite us to each other? A sacrificial attitude towards each other. A humble attitude towards each other. Now, this is vital. This is so important. We must understand that a person must be born again to have the mind of Christ. It's impossible to have the mind of Christ and not be born again. Not to have a salvation experience whereby you know that your sins are removed because of who Jesus is and that he has brought you into a loving relationship with himself and he has poured out the Holy Spirit into your heart. You must be born again to have the mind of Christ. You will not have the mind of Christ if you're not saved. And you will not have the mind of Christ if you're not a Christian who is walking in the flesh. If you're a Christian who's walking in the flesh and pursuing the things of the world. An unsaved man can never have the mind of Christ. A saved man can lose the mind of Christ if he's walking in the flesh and living in the world. Not to be humble, not to be sacrificial in the way we give to others. Those those are symptoms of the world. Paul, again, writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16, says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord," he says, "that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. Isn't that lovely? I hope you know that this morning. That if you're a saved believer in Christ, you have the mind of Christ. That the Holy Spirit abides within you, you have the mind of Jesus. If you're walking close with him, in relationship with him, you have the mind of Jesus. We receive the mind of Christ when we're born again and the Holy Spirit comes to abide with us. He opens the scriptures to us and leads us into all truth. He is our help and our strength. He enables us to love the unlovable and to do good to those who hate us. And he alone will produce the likeness of Jesus in us. If we abide in Christ, the Holy Spirit will produce the fruits of righteousness in us. But we need to be abiding in Christ, don't we? And we need to encourage each other and be a help to each other to abide in Jesus. Company of believers, all abiding in Christ, all with the Holy Spirit moving in us, bringing out Christ in us. That would be a glorious thing. That is a glorious thing. Paul, again, writing to the church at Philippi, chapter 4 and verse 2, has been made aware of a disagreement between two sisters. Two sisters that are disrupting the harmony of the church. Paul pleads with them by name to be reconciled together. Verse 2, he says, "I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord." Here were two women who were having difficulties getting along together. We don't know the nature of their difficulties, their disagreement, and it's not important that we do. What we do know, however, is that there's disagreement, and that disagreement has affected the fellowship of the church at Philippi. And that disagreement doesn't honour God. So they need to be reconciled together. Notice that Paul is imploring both of them equally. "I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche." And notice he's not taking sides. And he's not apportioning blame to one or the other. But he is saying they are both equally responsible for sorting out the problem they are having. Their disagreement is obviously disrupting the life of the church and hindering the work of God. So Paul has been made aware of that. And he is imploring them. He's begging them. He's begging them. He's begging them desperately to repent and to be reconciled together. I was told recently by a lady I have tremendous respect for that that women don't forget. I didn't know that. I'm a single man. How could I know that? I forget all the time. My problem is actually remembering things, not forgetting them. And at times, I thank the Lord for my forgetfulness. Because sometimes it's damaging to us and to others not to forget. and not to forgive. Scripture says that the Lord remembers our sins no more, Hebrews 8 verses 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, he says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Has God set a higher standard for himself than he has for us? No. Jesus is the standard. God forgives and forgets because of the atonement that Jesus made on the cross. And we can forgive and forget because of that same atonement that Christ made, can't we? We apply the work of Christ on the cross to our brother or our sister in Christ. And we see them through the lens of the cross, through the work that Jesus has done there. Because on the cross, he washed away all of our sins. And on the cross, he washed away my brother's sins and my sister's sins too. So holding on to bitterness, resentment, or hurt, it's not from Christ at all. It's the flesh. And it's damaging to your spirituality. And it's damaging to your psychology as well. It robs us of joy. And it can be damaging as well to the assembly of God's people. It certainly was in Philippi. If it wasn't, Paul wouldn't have addressed it. So it's vital that the issues are dealt with and that we don't broadcast our hurt or involve others in our grievances, looking for allies to sympathise with us, to affirm us in our upset. That can cause factions, can't it? Birds of a feather with a shared dislike for somebody. No. We take our grievance to the Lord, and there he deals with it. Now, I would say this as well. Matt and I are always available to people to chat with you if you want to come share something or unburden yourself. We're more than happy to do that, to pray with you. Paul implored Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I would like to finish this morning by reading 1 Peter 3 verses 8 and 9. Be in the same mind in the Lord with each other. Peter says, finally, all of you be of one mind. He couldn't be clearer there, could he? Finally, he says, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. He says, verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. In other words, if someone rubs you up the wrong way or upsets you, you don't do the same to them. But on the contrary, Peter says, respond to them with blessing, knowing that you were called to this. That is what God has called us to do, to bless and to encourage and to build each other up and to take the blows, if blows are given, whether they're intentional or whether they're accidental, it doesn't matter. We take the blows and we press on to bless. That you may inherit a blessing, he says. And what a blessing we inherit. We inherit heaven itself, don't we? A blessing infinite and eternal. Now, expecting such a blessing ourselves, we should be quick to bless others also, shouldn't we? We really should. We should be quick to encourage and to help. We should be quick to draw alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage them, even if they've hurt us, because that's Christ-like. It's not like the world, is it? The world doesn't do that. The world seeks vengeance. The world seeks its own. It wants to get its own back. Christ says, no, that's the world. That's not me. I bless. Salvation is the greatest blessing that God could give any human being. And he saves us while we are his enemies. Just think about that. That's the mind of Jesus, isn't it? To be a blessing to others. To have his mind direct our motives, our desires, our behavior, our relationships. That others might be blessed. Brothers and sisters who share the mind of Christ will bless and encourage each other. I finished this morning by reading Philippians 1 and verse 27. And then we're done. Paul says, only let your conduct, now listen to this. This is kind of what I've been trying to say. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let your conduct be worthy of all that he has done for us. All that he went through for us. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. And listen as we end this morning what he says. He says that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, serving together for the faith of the gospel. Serving together for the faith of the gospel. That's the hope. That's the prayer, isn't it? Let's pray. Amen. Father, that simply is our prayer as we finish here this morning, that we would serve together for the faith of the gospel, that we would serve Christ together, that we would be like Christ in respect of our brothers and sisters about us. Our prayer this morning is that as we finish, that you would help us over the course of this week to do just that. That, Lord, you will have spoken to us, that you will have placed some of these things upon our hearts, and that we take them away and live in the good of them this week. Live in the good of them. Lord, we just want to think again of our brothers and sisters who are not here. Bless them all, Lord, we pray thee. We thank you for each and every one of them. Each of them represents the grace of God, and we thank you for them. We pray again for Frank, and we pray that you would, Lord, just allow him to make a speedy recovery now, that he gets something out of the end of these holidays. Mm. And we commit ourselves to you now, we commit our day to you, we pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.